Man, it's a good morning. It's great when we can join our voices together and we just say the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. It's the name. His name is the name that saves. There is no other name but by which may we be saved but the name of Jesus. Amen? Man, that's good. Yeah, give him a big hand. There is joy. You know, there's joy with Jesus. There's joy in this place. And just so grateful to be able to worship God in freedom today. How about you? Amen. This is good. It's cold out there. We're always seems like we're missing people because of this long haul, but it's tough for some folks to get out. We remember them today. Some of you guys are watching on the video. Come next week. Don't just stay home because there's a video. You guys hear me? Okay, there we go. I just wanted to remind you today that God loves you. The Father sent His Son because He loves you. He couldn't have shown you any better way than that. There is probably no other love that could have been demonstrated to us in any more powerful way than for the Father to give the life of His Son. And I just want you to hear that today, and I want you to not just to be reminded of it, but I want you to soak it in. Because sometimes I think, at least I find this when I'm dealing with people, is we have a hard time believing it some days. We just don't really believe that God loves me. I believe that, you know, that God loves Cherie or God loves Jay, but it's hard this day to know that He loves me. But that's a lie, and you need to stand against it today. And just know, right? Know that God really loves you. And don't question His love for you. Don't question His love. I was thinking about some of my bad parenting skills back in the day, and it was a long time ago. But I remembered this morning, I was just thinking about, we had five boys, and there was a lot going on with five boys at home. No girls, never figured the girl thing out, but there were five boys, and we used to pray at a meal, you know, and amen meant go, right? Dad would pray, and then amen, and pow, you know, the first one in gets the best leg of the chicken or whatever, right? And I remember that, you know, sometimes my sons would question my love. And they would do it this way. You'd cut a piece of cake, and there'd be one piece that was a little bigger than the other one, right? And maybe your kids were never like this, but what my kids would say is, Dad, how come he gets the bigger piece and I get the littler piece, right? Dad, you know, why does that happen? Later on, what happened, we learned how to do this, is that we'd say to one, okay, you get to cut the piece, you get to pick the piece. So if you cut it too big, that's your fault, right? But I do remember in way back then, one of the bad parenting things that I did, which I do not recommend, but I'm going to tell you anyways, when my son would come to me and he'd say, Dad, how come so-and-so gets to do this and I don't get to do it? Or how come his piece of cake is bigger than mine? I would say to him, it's because I don't love you as much as your brother, okay? And he would, I know that sounds terrible, but you got to know this first. Then he would go, oh, you do too, right? He knew. No, you guys think I'm awful now. I'm feeling terrible. But listen, the reason why I would say that, I'd say it because that's exactly what he was saying. He was really saying, if you don't love me as much as my brother, if you love me as much as my brother, you would do this, or you would give me exactly the same thing or the exactly same piece. And so I would just say, you know, I'd tell him exactly what he's really saying to me. No, it's because I love him better than you. And he knew that wasn't true. And I would say, yeah, of course that's not true. But sometimes we say that to God. Sometimes we say to God, well, you must not love me as well as you love this person. You don't love me as much. Look what you're doing in this person's life. And sometimes it's easy to look at other people, right? Even in this group here, we can look at other people and we go, wow, I wish I had his life. I wish I had Ferris's life. Man, if I had Ferris's life, then it would just all be gravy. It would be wonderful. Man, I just wish. And God blesses Ferris. You should see how God blesses Ferris. It seems like everything that happens in Ferris's life is amazing. Oh, God must really love Ferris. I wish he just loved me that much. You hear that? And the reality is, you know, God couldn't love you anymore. He sent his son to die for you just as much as he did for me. He loves you entirely. He loves you with his whole heart. He loves you with every part of his being. And it's a slap in God's face when we think or we allow that unbelief in our heads where we go, you know, I'm not as important as this person. I'm not as special as Ray. Ray, man, this guy's really special to God. That's a slap in God's face, and it's sort of a mockery almost of the cross, because it's on the cross where Jesus died for each of us. And I'm not going to give the sermon today. Maybe I already did a little bit, but Pauline's going to preach. But I just want to remind you today that God loves you. I just wanted to tell you that today. And just one last thing on that, and then there's going to be a video. Can you get that video queued up? And this is so important, and I keep telling people this too, that, you know, as the love of God pours into your life, you need to allow it to pour out from your life. If all that happens is you've received the love of God, but you're not loving others and you're not letting it flow through you, then you're only going to receive a limited amount of that love. God wants to pour more love into you. He wants to pour more of his divine love, more of the fragrance of God into you. But if you just do this and you say, well, I'm just going to keep the love. I'm really good at receiving love. That's my love language. I receive it. You know what? God says, I want to pour it out of you. And as we allow the love of God to pour out, more can pour in. So just a word of encouragement. If you're struggling today, and you're wondering about God, and you're wondering about life, and you're questioning him, and you don't know for sure, you know, if he's in control or if he's loving you, I'm encouraging you today to love somebody else. Do something deliberate. And I'm not just talking about random acts of kindness, like buying someone a Tim Hortons. That's fine. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about really loving somebody who's hard to love, someone who was your enemy, someone that you've had a hard time forgiving, someone who needs a letter from you or a text or something to say, you know what, we're cool and I love you and I hope the best for you. I hope you get to know the God that I know. If you do that, I promise you, as you allow the love of God to pour out of you, there'll be more love that God can pour into you. We're going to show the video, and this is about transforming the heart. That's happening here in a few weeks with Don and Shauna Albers. Don, just stand up and wave your hand a little bit. God loves Don, right? Give him a big hand. Thank you, God. So just put it on. Let's watch this. You're hearing amen? Amen. So today we can still sign up, and Don will be in the back, and there's going to be a potluck after church. By the way, don't leave. There's going to be lots of food. If not, we'll buy pizza, so don't worry about it. We're going to eat together. We're going to break bread together, but there'll be an opportunity for you to meet Don a little bit and to sign up. This is important. This is good. This is going to be life-changing, and I couldn't recommend it more. I think this is awesome, and it's not a this is not a coincidence or just some, you know, happenstance thing that Don is coming to our church here in the last little while and that he's going to be offering this. We need this. We need this. So let's receive some of the training here that God's offering us. Amen. I'm going to ask Chad and Robin to come on up, and we want to pray for them as they're on their way on a mission trip. You can tell by the way Chad is dressed. Robin always dresses like this, but Chad. And ask the leaders, Elvin, you want to come up, and Crystal, and I know, but I mean, I can tell you're going somewhere. And there was, yeah, there he is. You go to this church, right? Yeah. Just a couple minutes, just telling us, just remind us again.
Yeah. So we're going to Uganda. We fly out Monday, tomorrow, and we're going to be there for just over a month with travel. We're going to be supporting local ministries that are there. We're going to be involved in a pastoral conference, as well as a school that has 150 little kids from the drug fields. There's little kids that there's a cycle of poverty where the parents can't afford to send the kids to school, and the kids just work in the drug fields, and they just pick drugs all day long, unless they can get support and go to a school like the one that we're supporting. So that's a couple of the things. We have a very busy schedule, and it's going to be very intense. And so we covet your prayers. And thank you for everyone in any way that you've helped us on this trip. So we're excited.
March 21st, they will be back. Let's put our hands on these folks. And the rest of you, just raise your hands. We're going to pray for them as leaders of the church. So in the name of Jesus, we just commit you some very dear people. God, we love these guys. So we love Robin and Chad. We love who they are. We love their hearts. And we believe that you call them to Uganda. We believe you're calling them to the mission field and do the teaching. And we ask you, God, to be with them, that you will prepare the way, that you'll make a way where there is no way, and that amazing, great, powerful things are going to be happening because of the name of Jesus and because of the power that we have through the Holy Spirit. We pray that your Holy Spirit will just completely envelop their lives, that they will walk in the Spirit, that they will move in the Spirit, that they will operate in the Spirit, and that many, many lives will be changed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise you, God. Thank you, God, for the way your light will go with Chad and Robin. The light of the Lord Jesus Christ will move with them and through them and around them, and that people will glorify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ because of what you're doing. Oh, you are a good God, and we thank you, God, for the way you're moving with Chad and Robin and into the lives of those people that they're going to meet with. Thank you, God. Thank you for being so faithful. Thank you, God, for empowering them and developing them and leading them. And, God, thank you for the way you cherish them and the way you protect them. You're so good. Thank you, Father. In Jesus, we pray.
God, you just give me the word willing. God, thank you that when we are willing, then you show us. You give us great opportunities. And Lord, I thank you for this opportunity. I know their hearts are excited to go here, Father, and to be a light for you. And so, Lord, I just pray in every way that you will bless them as well, Lord, that you will give them safety and that you will even work in their hearts, God, and that you will change them as they see other people being changed by you. Lord, thank you that you are so good. You are such a good God, and that you are God in Canada, and you are God in Uganda too. Lord, you are so good. So, Lord, I just pray that there will be great joy as they go on this journey. Great joy. And, Lord, there's going to be hard things. We know that. Uganda is not easy. Lord, I just pray that you will help them to have great patience to go through these hard things too. Lord, I just praise you for Robin and Chad. Thank you, Jesus.
Heavenly Father God, we just lift up your name today. We give you praise, honor, and glory. I thank you for Chad and Robin. I thank you for their heart. I thank you for their willingness to be obedient to your word. Your word says to go into the nations and to preach the gospel to every living being, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God, I pray that you strengthen them for the work that you've called them to do, God. And your word says to pray to the Lord of the harvest that he'd send more workers. The harvest is ripe, but the workers are few, God. And I thank you that they're being obedient to answering the call upon their lives, Lord Jesus. I just thank you so much for the obedience and the faithfulness in their hearts, Lord Jesus. I just pray, Father, that you prepare the hearts that they're going to speak to, God. I just pray that you send the angels and begin to minister to them as they're waiting for their arrival, God, that their hearts will be prepared for the words that you will speak through them, Lord Jesus. I just thank you, God, for everything that you're going to do, God. And we look willing and we look forward with expectations of stories that will come home with honor to your name. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord God, we just pray for a spirit of discernment to rest upon them, Lord God, that they'll be led by the Spirit. Lord God, the unction of your Spirit will be upon them to accomplish your task, O God, in Jesus' mighty name. Lord God, your word declares that those that are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. So we just believe, Lord God, for them, God, that as they go, you're leading them, you're instructing them, you're protecting them from any sickness, any disease that would want to come on them, in Jesus' name. We cut it off right now, in Jesus' mighty name. God, that they'll experience a wall of protection around them, a wall of fire around them, as they minister there, Lord God, and they'll see great fruit from their labor, Lord God. And I just, Lord God, myself, I just truly believe that this is just the beginning of many more to be released to the nations, Lord God. As we surrender to you, Lord God, God, you're going to take us at our word, Lord God, and release us to the nations in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah. Amen. God bless you. We're excited.
I'm excited to hear you.
Yeah. I was just saying, I'm excited to hear what the report's going to be when they get back here in a little over a month. Amen? Do we have those pictures of Douglas? If you can just put them on. This is the last thing before. Maybe, Pauline, why don't you come on up? I just wanted you to know that the funeral or the memorial service for Douglas Bartsch is going to be on Saturday. Yes or no? Yes, we have them, or no, we don't? Well, we're going to try to. Some of you won't know who he is until you see his picture. So, but Saturday at 11 o'clock, we're going to meet together here this coming Saturday and celebrate his life. He did come here quite a bit. He kind of stopped coming about a year ago, which was too bad. And he struggled a lot. But many of us knew him. He was a kind man. He worked a lot in the kitchen. He loved to serve. He loved to help. We're going to get together. His two daughters from Utah are going to be here. And they're going to serve breakfast on Saturday morning at the kitchen, and then they wouldn't want to be a part of this service. I just invite you and encourage you to come. Let's pray for Pauline. God, thank you for your word. Your word is sharper than any two-edged sword. Your word is the truth. When we have doubts, we go to your word. And you speak through your word and through your Holy Spirit. You say in your word that true worshipers will worship you in spirit and in truth. And it's our intention, it's our desire to do that today. We pray for our brother that he will bring your message. Let this be truth. Let this be what your word says. Give him confidence and let his words flow from the heart of God to us. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you in the house of the Lord. I'd like to share a word with you today. I'll just go direct to the Word of God. I believe your heart is already taught for the Word. And the Word today is about the storm, about the wind. We prayed earlier in that small room before the service today, and Pastor Don, Brother Don, said in his prayer, God, send us the wind of the Holy Spirit. Do you know that God sometimes works through the wind, through the storm? So you can never underestimate the working of God through the storms. If you have a Bible, or we can read through the screen, the portion of the scripture today, which is found in the book of Mark, chapter 4. Starting from verse 35 until verse 41. This is a story which you have heard so many times, and I believe, again today, God will speak to any of us through this word. So it is ready on the screen now. Thank you. Let's read it all together. 1, 2, 3. The day when evening came, he said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, Teacher, don't you care if we drown? He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, Quiet, be still. Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? They were terrified and asked each other, Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Yes, it is still true today. Even the winds and the waves obey the word of God, obey Jesus. Because he has got the whole world in his hands. Are you today in a situation that you think the storm is coming over your boat? There are so many funny things when I read this passage. When I try to picture about these disciples, when their boat was about to sink, maybe some of them started bailing the water. Don't you think so? Maybe one, two, or three of them started to jump overboard. They tried to jump overboard. Maybe a strong heart. One of them may want to give or take command. A command type person. And still others, maybe they want to wake up Jesus. Still, the funny side of this that I saw in this passage, I try to picture in my heart, why do they want to wake up Jesus? Well, for sure, it's because they were afraid of their lives. I don't think these disciples are afraid of Jesus' life. But they are afraid of their own lives. Maybe some of them wanted Jesus to help them bailing the water. They needed some help in a situation like that. But most of all, they wanted a miracle. I tried to think it out loud. Maybe one or two of them are mad because they see Jesus was sleeping through the crisis. Have you ever been like that? In your crisis? Toward the end of the passage that we read this morning, what do you think was the tone of Jesus' words to his disciples when he said, "Why are you afraid? You still don't have any faith?" These disciples have seen so many miracles previously ahead of this event performed by Jesus. So I think to some extent, I try to endeavor to think that Jesus, in the tone of his words, he was a little bit angry or disappointed or a little bit scolding his disciples because it is so slow for them to learn the secret of this faith. But still in the midst of all this, Jesus' words, the tone of his words, was still compassionate. Okay? Compassionate. Even in the slowness of our ability to learn about the things of God, he is still compassionate with us. Some of you might be asking, why in the first place God or Jesus allows the storm to come up? Maybe you say, well, it is just a natural thing for the storm to come up. Maybe some of you think that Jesus allowed the storm to come because he wanted to test his disciples. But most of all, this is what I believe, Jesus wanted to stretch the faith of his disciples. You have got that faith in you already, but it has never been stretched just like rubber band. Unless it is stretched, it won't do no good. Imagine if you are one of those disciples and you are in the group. What would you have said to your friends? Would you say, "Now I know that Jesus was a good sleeper"? Don't you dare say that, okay? You can never figure out Jesus with your own finite thinking. It is good to say and to admit the power of God, and he would say, "Only God can do what I have just seen." Can I ask you some more questions? Thank you. What do you do when storms come into your life? Do you do first like turning to the person that you know so well, to your buddy, to your good friend? Or do you pretend as if nothing is going wrong? You try to hide or bury your head in the sand. Some people are like that. They are in crisis. Some people in a situation like this, they are very irritable, they are very touchy. And most of all, many people are panic-stricken in a situation like that. But the Word of God reminds us this morning, in a situation like that, God is standing right there. Jesus is right there with you. You better turn to Him. Sorry if I ask you, this is a bit personal. What brings most of your storms? Some people say, well, it's just the financial difficulties that I keep having. Some other people say it is just the problems, relational problems, relational difficulties, hustles with relationships. Some people who are very busy, they might say in answer to this, well, it is because I have so little time, so limited time, and I can never do enough. Meaning, in an overwhelming demands of life every day, storms might come. Some people, still another type of people, some people, especially those who are insecure in their heart, they worry about things. Worry. They worry all the time. They worry about future. They worry about today. They worry about things they have. They even worry about things they don't have. They worry too much. That's the sign of being insecure. That can bring storms in your life. Still, some people, because of disappointment in life, because of feelings of failure, because of tragedy, because of sickness, and many other things, I know this can bring another kind of storm too. If you read this chapter, or even the previous one, you will find out that this is one of Jesus' long day of preaching. The crowd was gathering, crowd was following them, Jesus and his disciples. And Jesus taught the crowd from a boat. Many of the topics that he has been teaching prior to this was about the parable of the sower. He has been teaching also about the candle or lamp that you should not put under the bushel, right? put it on top. He has been teaching the crowd about the coming harvest. But today the harvest is coming. Laborers are too few. And he has been teaching them also about the mustard seed. However small that seed is, it can grow, which is the similitude of faith. But it is interesting to me to find out that Jesus with his disciples at the end of that specific day, that they closed the day with an adventure. Normally at the end of the day or at the close of the business every day, you want to unwind or to relax a little bit. But Jesus here in this context with his disciples, they close the day with adventure. This is a time which the disciples would never forget. Let me read again, verse 35. Because there's a promise here. Chapter 4, verse 35. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Can you see a promise here? A promise at the evening time, passing over to the other side. It's a really great, great promise, I should say. We've been living here in this earth. A time will come that we'll go also to the other side. We better prepare for such a time. It doesn't have to terrify you. Because Jesus is the one that gives that promise. Because that great promise speaks of a journey with Jesus. Jesus says, "Let us." It's a journey with Jesus. And in that promise, there is also a sense of his fellowship on the other side. Not only here, he is with us, but we'll fellowship at the other side. There is a sense also here, if you notice, that there will be a safe journey, a safe passage for the journey. Many people have been praying, "God, give me an easy life." What if God wants to stretch your faith? That kind of prayer might not be answered. Christian life, your life, my life, as followers of Jesus, is likened to this journey. Just like these disciples, at the end of the day, at the evening time, they are tired, right? I know, they are tired. They are weary already. They have done things for the kingdom. But that's the time when Jesus said to them, "Let's go to the other side." That's the time when Jesus said, Let's go, let's go, let's go. This might be the time also when you think that you can relax. You think that you can just forget all these things. But still, Jesus, the Spirit says to you, I'm calling you. I'm calling you for something related to the kingdom. Maybe you have a lot of burdens when Jesus is calling you. Maybe you are in the midst of lots of problems when Jesus is calling you. Do not just say, wait, Lord, wait until the more opportune time, a better time. Don't call me now yet for that job, for that task. Please decide to travel with Jesus today. Because He'll go with you, He'll go with us. Not just half of the journey. There's a guarantee He'll go with us for the entire journey. And we are guaranteed a safe journey and a safe passage. I'm coming now to the part of this message which might not be easy for you to digest or to take in. My statement is this: there is going to be perils. There is going to be a peril brought by the storm. Verse 37 says, a furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly sunk. There arose a great storm of wind. Meaning the waves started coming into the ship, into the boat. Still, some people see this just like the upheavals of nature only. But people who have the eye of faith, they will see this as an opportunity for God to perfect their faith. Because the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, He is the perfecter of our faith. Especially in a situation, in a circumstance like that. I know this has not always been like that. At the beginning, before the fall, you recall the tranquility, the peace in the Garden of Eden, right? No storm, no strong wind, no waves, no sickness, no heartaches. Everything was good. But there's going to be a time again when you follow Jesus all the way in this journey, you will enjoy the tranquility of heaven above with Him. Yes, I'm saying this not because of my own words. I can guarantee, based on the Word of God, the tranquility, that peace is ahead. So just hold on. Just hold on. Press on. Keep following Jesus. It is ahead. A better day is coming. That's my point. A better day is ahead of us. There are some lessons for us, and this is the application of this message. There are lessons for the disciples in the storm. Many people do not learn during a crisis. How about these disciples? The first thing that they learned was this. They are obedient to Jesus, yet the storm still comes. Are you saying, oh, I give up? I thought when I obey God, when I obey Jesus, everything will be just smooth in my life. No. The disciples were obeying the Lord, but the storm still came. In other words, they are traveling with Jesus, yet the storm still came. Or let me say it this way. You might be still at the center of God's will, yet the storm will still come. Are you going to give up? No. Thank you. Bless you. This is the time when we need the power, the leading of the Holy Spirit. You cannot do it without Him, without the Holy Spirit. You've done everything. You are so obedient. You do the will of God. Still, the storm comes. Because storms come to us all. Don't you think that those people who have happy faces, that they don't have their storms? They do too. They do. I'd like to close this message by saying to you, there are purpose for everything under the sun. There are purpose. Let me read verse 38 until 41. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" 39, he got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." And he said to his disciples, then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Let's remember, my brothers and sisters, that God, that Jesus, in this specific event, Jesus knew that the storm would come. He knows what will come to you in days ahead, whether it be storms or what. God never promises that you will have an easy journey without storms. But what he promises is, he'll never forsake you, he'll be there with you, and he's greater than the storm. And God, Jesus, was equipped to send the storm away. This is a nice thing to remember. Storm is there not to stay, but storm is there to pass away. It is not there forever. And I love this passage because Jesus chose to go with his disciples. He didn't simply say, you disciples, just go. I'll just stay here. But this is the fact that Jesus chose to go all the way with his disciples. It is so easy to talk about faith, but tests will come. There will be a time, maybe very soon, that storms will enable you to gauge, to measure your own faith. Please don't forget that Christ is with you. Whatever the storms will be in your life, he is always with you. And Jesus is always up to any occasion, any circumstance. He will never fail you. He will never. There are several different kinds of storms. You remember the story in the book of Jonah. Storm came. The point I'd like to pin down is this. There are different storms for different purposes. The first one is the storm of Jonah. What's the purpose of that? The purpose of that storm is to bring back this man back to his calling, back to the Lord. You try to do life your own way, there's no way. It's his way. He'll bring you back. If necessary, he'll send storms into your life. Not because he hates you, but because he loves you. He will allow those storms so that you will come back to him. So that's the first storm. Bring us back to the path. Bring us back to real fellowship with him. Bring us back to our calling that we receive from him. Second one is the storm allowed by God to provide a platform, a pulpit for you so that God can speak through you in a situation, stormy occasion like that. You remember the life of Paul, the apostle, right? He was in so many storms in his ministry. Not because he stepped out from the will of God, but because God allowed those storms to provide a witnessing opportunity for Paul to manifest the power of the living God through his life. I know it is hard. It is difficult. In a circumstance like that. But the passage here, as I said earlier, this kind of storm encountered by these disciples is for the purpose of building up, strengthening the fiber of their faith. Would you like your faith to be strengthened? Allow God to do things like this in your life. He'll not forsake you. He will not forget you. He is there. He'll hold your hands. You will hear His voice. He is still Jesus that says, "Peace, be still." If you are in a stormy situation this week or this month, please remember, He is Jesus. His words are respected even by the forces of nature. The winds, the storms, or name it, whatever it is, they still recognize the authority in Jesus' voice. I'll end by saying, don't be afraid, because He is holding your hand. He wants to perfect your faith. And hear Him say, "My son, my daughter, watch me say to these elements of nature, peace, be still." Is your heart troubled today? Hear the Holy Spirit, the same thing into your soul. God bless you all.
Peace, be still. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you. The Lord give you His peace right now.